How is Jesus preparing a place for us? He is preparing a place for us by pleading as the eternal priest before the throne of his heavenly Father for the grace we need to finally reach heaven. Christ is, hear it, praying for us as man, of course. Secondly, he is preparing a place for us because in heaven he is awaiting our joining him where he is in eternal glory. There is no figure of speech. You know, we may say, we must say, Jesus Christ is eagerly expecting us to come to that heavenly home to join him in the company of the angels and saints. No place on earth is our home. We are wanderers. We are en route. The Latin term is viatores. On the way. And Christ is eagerly awaiting us. Once more, Christ is not preparing a place for us as though he still has to do something to organize or build so that we might join him. No. As far as he is concerned, he has done all he could to provide us with the light and strength we need to reach heaven. It is we who need to be prepared. And the closer I am to eternity, I cannot tell you how profoundly, deeply meaningful every syllable of the words I'm sharing with you has become. From heaven, Jesus is giving us all the help we need to reach our destiny. All that is necessary is our cooperation with his grace. That's all. We need light for the mind to know what he wants and strength for the will to choose to do it. And that's all, comma all, comma all, that life in this world means. We have a mind for one purpose, to recognize God's grace. And a will for one purpose, to choose to cooperate with that grace. He is giving us the grace. But we must provide the effort. If we do, then heaven will be ready to receive us. And I cannot emphasize the readiness we should have to exert ourselves, and I mean to the limit. Heaven is worth it. Pardon the expression, honest to God. So much for part one of our conference. Now the implications for our spiritual life. All that we've said opens the door to our responsibility. If we want to join Christ, who is waiting for us, we've got to do our part. After all, the kingdom which Christ entered is the same heavenly kingdom to which we also are destined to enter. And notice, it is a kingdom. Precisely because, in the words of St. John, it is the new Jerusalem, the city on high. Heaven is a community. It is a society. It is therefore a kingdom. in which Christ is the King and those in heaven are assembled in a community of angels and saints. We may say that with Christ's ascension, heaven became a kingdom. Why? Because then heaven received its King. It is a place where families and friends and those whom we have known and loved on earth will be with us and be with them in the company of the divine community of the Holy Trinity. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the Father whom I never knew. He died when I was a year old. Being with a mother whom I loved so dearly, ordained a priest, offered the funeral mass, wept, shed tears from the beginning of the mass to the end, inviting letters of condolence to people who lost a dear one. I tell them, our faith reminds us it's just a temporary separation. We are to be reunited with those whom we've loved on earth, never again to be separated for all eternity. On the last day, Jesus will call the saved to possess the kingdom prepared for them, as he himself foretold from the foundation of the world. Oh, but this kingdom must be earned. You might say, Father, please, we've heard this so many times. The price is very high. It is nothing less than the practice, if need be, of heroic patience with those whom God puts into our lives. We must endure people here on earth if we expect to enjoy their heavenly company in eternity. And those whom we may most love can be the most trying persons on earth. Strange as it may seem, Christ now in heaven retains in his glorified body the wounds he received during his passion on earth. There are many reasons why Jesus for all eternity will have, well, the wounds in his hands and feet and his open side and the wounds from his thorn-crowned head. Why? Because the wounds of Christ were the condition for his meriting the glorification of his body. What should this tell us? It tells us that the sufferings we experience on earth are the promise of our glorification in heavenly beatitude. Hear it. This is the law. The law of divine justice. No pain, comma, no joy. The more pain, comma, the more joy. Father, please stop. How we need to remind ourselves that the sufferings of this life are the providential assurance of happiness in the life to come. You almost want to ask God, please send me more pain. By the way, don't do it. Whatever else we know about heaven, we should remember it is not a place of solitude. Again, why does the ascended Christ in heaven retain his wounds? These wounds are in Christ's body. Like him, we are to expect suffering, not only in soul, but also in body, as the condition for meriting, earning an eternal reward, not only in the beatific vision in soul, but the glorious pleasure of a transfigured body. I'll never forget November the 2nd, 1950. The day after Pope Pius XII defined Mary's bodily assumption into heaven, he told some 600 bishops assembled in Rome one reason why, under God, he decided to define Mary's bodily assumption was, he told the bishops, because, mind you, that was 1950. The next half of the present century, 20th century, will be the one period in history where the evil spirit will use pleasures of the body to seduce millions from their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. 47 years since the Pope pronounced those words. And we, like Mary, should look forward to our bodily assumption and be willing to suffer in body and control our bodies in order to reach Jesus and Mary, they in their bodies, we in ours, after the last day. One more reason for Christ's wounds. When the risen Christ showed the doubting Thomas the wounds in his glorified body, he was teaching us, perhaps, the most difficult mystery of our faith. And, you see, I just cannot keep repeating, it is through suffering that we are sanctified. It is especially through the wounds we experience from others that we hope to be rewarded in eternity. Not a small part of this reward is to meet the people who have reached heaven because we have loved them so mercifully here on earth. Remember, no one gets to heaven alone. Nobody. Either they help others reach the celestial kingdom, or we won't get there ourselves. St. Paul tells us, let your thoughts be on heavenly things, not on the things of earth. Here we're not just getting a pious exhortation. It is a sacred duty. Everything here on earth, visible, tangible, audible, palatable, perceivable by the senses, and these are the things which the world tells us, these are the only things that matter. And notice, even the very word matter in English, am I clear? Matter. and feel, touch, taste, see with your bodily eyes. We say something does not, quote, matter to me. Lord, have mercy on us who speak the English language. Heavenly things, on the other hand, are not perceived by our bodily eyes, or ears, or taste, or touch. And all this needs to be repeated. Our faith tells us they are more real than the whole world of space and time. They are the things of the Spirit. Well, let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. We must do violence to ourselves, even to pay attention to, not to say to think about, communicate with, and make what is spiritual the principal object of our life. What do we believe? Unless we pay attention to heavenly things while still on earth, we shall never reach these heavenly things in eternity. We are told, you must look for the things that are in heaven, where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. Our Lord's ascension into heaven has a profound meaning in the lives of all true believers. Hear it. We are not to expect perfect happiness here on earth, nor complete satisfaction of our desires inside of eternity. We must look for, in the sense of seek, the satisfaction of our heart's desires in our eternal future, and not now. And the more severely God tries us, the more pain we experience. Thank God. I mean that from the depths of my heart. Thank God. Our little children are being weaned from the things of this world. St. Luke tells us what happened on the first Ascension Thursday. It was a double dialogue. First between Jesus and his disciples, and then between the disciples and two angels. I quote St. Luke. They who had come together began to ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Well, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. That's part one. When he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Unquote, St. Luke. In the first dialogue between Christ and the disciples, they asked him a strange question. Will you now restore the kingdom of Israel? Oh no, 3 years of patient teaching. They still didn't get it. His disciples still had their eyes on an earthly Israel. Christ Christ's answer to the disciples is a powerful reminder of the great duty we have to evangelize the non-Christian world. He was speaking to all of us when he told his disciples on Ascension Thursday, "I have never tired repeating when Jesus said, 'You will be my witnesses.'" Remember, he really meant, that's the Greek, "You will be my martyrs." To proclaim Christ to an unbelieving world is to expect, dare I say, look forward to being a martyr. I'm not using a figure of speech. How the modern world needs martyrs. How the United States needs martyrs. This is the message in one document of Pope John Paul II after another. Says the Vicar of Christ, "The Catholic Church today will survive only where there are still zealous believers willing to pay even with their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ." That includes bishops, priests, religious, and the laity. The second dialogue between the disciples and two angels is also very revealing. The disciples were asked, "Why are you staring up into the sky?" What do the angels tell the disciples? "Look, you've got work to do. We do not ordinarily think of the apostolate in terms of mobility. And that is what Jesus told his apostles. And I hope in some sliver degree, something of what I intend to share with you, but into your hearts. How we need zealous apostles, dear God, men and women, even children, to share their faith with everyone whom God puts into their lives. As a member of the Society of Jesus, I know the command given to us by St. Ignatius." I quote Ignatius of Loyola, "Ours, that's us, must be ready to travel to various places wherever there is hope of God's greater glory and the good of souls." How we need zealous Catholics who don't just hug the faith that Christ has given them, but share that faith. And I repeat, with everyone whom God puts into our lives for that purpose. And as we close this conference on Christ's ascension into heaven, we do not forget the Savior's closing injunction to his disciples. He told them, and is telling us, to witness to him to the very ends of the earth. As we hope to join Jesus in body and soul in heaven, we better make sure that we have exerted, even exhausted ourselves, in sharing our faith with everyone whom God puts into our lives for that purpose, to share the truth with those who need to know and love and serve Jesus Christ. I have a closing prayer. Dear Lord, you told us, Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Our final judgment will depend on how courageously we have proclaimed your name to everyone who enters our lives. Give us the strength never to be slaves of human respect. Give us the wisdom and courage to witness to you here on earth, so that you, dear Jesus, may witness to us on the last day. Amen.